Welcome back, listeners. I'm so happy to have you here with me today. If you're new, welcome to the Psyche Behind the Physique. I'm your host, Maddie Michelson, IFBB Bikini Pro and founder of the Empowered Coaching Collective. Today, I am joined with one of my near and dear athletes of 3 years, head assistant coach at Team Empowered and two-time overall bikini champion, Alexis Otaire. Alexa, thank you for joining us on this podcast today.
Oh, so glad to be back. I've missed it.
We've missed you. A couple weeks ago, Alexa actually reached out with the idea of speaking on the topic that we are super excited to discuss with you all today, and that is the someday trap. Alexa drafted some thoughts, and as soon as I had a chance to read through the thought trap on this, I was convinced that this too would be an episode that you do not want to miss. So, Alexa, kind of take it away from here, and what inspired this episode?
So before we get into like the nitty-gritty of everything about the someday trap, I'll just share a part of my experience that kind of influenced me to write up this podcast. And that was thinking about like, I don't know, the last few weeks I've kind of been going through like a weird period of off season and reevaluating my goals and like the timeline of everything. And I was thinking about one of my biggest someday moments when I was first starting to work out, or at least trying to. I was 17. I was like pretty deep into an ED and like kind of trying to recover. And I wanted to go to the gym with my boyfriend, who was a high school football player, jock, athlete, and I wanted to like get into that whole fitness realm. And I walked to the gym and I literally had no idea what I was doing. I felt like I was being watched. I felt like I was being judged, like I didn't belong there. And it totally freaked me out, so much so that I literally did not go back to a gym for a year and a half. And I knew I wanted to go back and I wanted to start working out and getting stronger and recovering, but I kind of let that fear stop me. And I fell into the someday trap of eventually I'll do that, or someday I'll get there, or maybe I'll go to the gym tomorrow, or maybe next week. And I think now of like how much progress I could have made in the time if I had just kind of pushed through that discomfort and gotten over that someday trap. But I told myself that I would start again someday when I felt more confident. But in reality, like I realized that confidence comes from doing, not waiting. And that's kind of when I reached out and wanted to get into bodybuilding and found Maddie. And now I feel like you could go tell us a little bit about what kind of how this relates to you in some way.
Yeah, it's so funny that you mentioned like the ED and being in the gym. I definitely think there's, elements of my own health and fitness career that I can apply to this. A really good example of that was like when I first competed, I was severely underweight and I had an eating disorder. It's ironic because bodybuilding was part of my healing process. I actually wouldn't say that I fully healed until I, kind of stepped away and into a life season, but that's a story for another time. I think one of my three big Sunday moments was really healing my relationship with food. Like it was something that, to be honest with you, it's so easy when you're struggling with any sort of like element, whether it's like a full-blown ED that's diagnosed clinically, or whether it's just like an element of an eating disorder, whether it be binging or restricting that you're in like somewhat of denial of. There's so many like someday moments in that. It's like, well, I'll do it as soon as I hit X pounds, or I'll do it as soon as I have kids because I don't want them to see this behavior, or I'll do it once I get a boyfriend because then the boyfriend is going to pull me into like wanting to improve. Like, no, there is no good time to heal your relationship with food. It sucks. It's painful, right?
Exactly, yeah.
The other thing is, the notion of like starting a prep. I remember that whole healing journey, and then I got into a really good flow with the guy that I was dating at the time and eating intuitively, and we were going out for drinks and all these incredible things together. And I remember thinking like, whoa, I'm gonna have to give up so much of my life for this commitment. And I knew it was something that I wanted, right? That like, but pulling off that initial Band-Aid and like committing myself to a prep there's no good time for. Like,
Yeah.
it's really one of those things where you kind of want both, right? Like, you want the off season, especially once you're deep in it, you get into a really good flow state with it. And you also want this prep, but like, which want is more important to you impressing at that time? And then probably my third big Sunday moment was starting a coaching business. Something that I know we'll talk on later on in this episode, hopefully, and we get to is, I think there's an element of a lot of these Sundays where there's like this naivety associated with it. Like, oh, like I'll start someday when it's easy. Nothing
Yeah.
about starting a business, whether it's a coaching business or even like your own entrepreneurial venture, is easy. And I think I thought, like, well, when the clients just start flowing to me, like when I put my application link in my bio, I'm just going to get hundreds of apps. And like, it's not how it works, sis. Like, I spend 90% of my time doing things that make me zero money.
Yes.
And it's effort, right? Anything that's worth it is effort. And that's kind of, why I felt, obviously, after reading this, I was like, holy cow, like, this has affected me so much.
So many different ways because I feel like aside from bodybuilding and like you said, I actually had mentioned like part of this is relevant to my prep and like wanting to start a prep now and even my first one, but like more than anything, it's applicable to like people just generally in life, you know, like with you starting a business, with other people wanting to get out. I mean, me personally, I'm moving after I graduate and it scares the shit out of me. Like honestly, it does. And like part of me wanted to stay because I have family here. And I think that's part of it. Like you end up thinking like, okay, well, I'll just wait till like a good time. Like a good time will happen to move or to relocate like after school, like maybe I'll wait because I was actually thinking about like maybe I'll stay here for a little bit longer and then go out when I'm more financially stable and everything. And these are like valid reasons, but also like you said, the time is never going to be perfect to do anything, whether it's a prep, starting a business, going to the gym for the first time, fully committing yourself to like a healthy lifestyle, like the time is never gonna feel perfect.
Yeah, and I think that for our listeners, like, this topic matters, right? The impact of procrastination is vast and all expansive. I mean, it affects our long-term success, it affects our personal fulfillment, it affects our ability to reach our goals in a timely manner.
In our
So
relationship too.
100%, 100%. So, Alexa, would you kind of take us away and, help our listeners to understand this mindset of eventually, what is this trap?
Yeah, so there's a big, I think, concept or illusion that a lot of people fall into with like this idea of eventually. And that's like the illusion of perfect timing. And I know we touched on this a little bit, but how we oftentimes feel like waiting around for the perfect time is going to serve us more than just going for it and just trying. And I think I remember telling myself, like, regarding my gym situation when I first wanted to get into the gym that I'll go back into the gym when I feel more ready. But when was that gonna, how would I know when that time was gonna be?
Right. How do you measure readiness?
Yeah, like how do you know when you'll feel ready? And if you don't feel ready now, what's gonna make you feel more ready later? And I realized that if I didn't make the decision to randomly walk back into the gym one day and say, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I'm here, I'm showing up. I don't really know when I actually would have started, you know? Like I don't know when I would have gone there. And I think that's part of this whole idea, like, but it'll all come in perfect timing. And like, sure, that makes sense for some scenarios, but in reality, there's never really gonna be a perfect time. I mean, everyone has so much going on in their lives at all times, whether it be relationships, career, getting your foot in the door in your a new career or moving, and there's just so much going on that like you don't really ever know when the perfect time is. And like even kind of a little bit gory, but just like you don't know if tomorrow's guaranteed. Like you never know. So I think that's another aspect is like sh if you want to wait and for perfect timing, which we don't even know when that is, you don't even know if you'll be there, you know? I think that's also a concept is to just go for it. And I think there's a lot of excuses. Like, I'll start when I when I can make more time. And I think this is applicable to a lot of people who have like kids and everything. And I don't, you can tell us a little bit more.
I think before we get on to timing too, and maybe some of the common excuses and pitfalls that people fall into when it comes to this like notion of the someday effect or the someday fallacy. Something that I tell a lot of women on discovery calls when I meet with them is like, I find that they're on the call and what's almost distracting them away from the initial calling that they felt to submit an application is like needing to figure out where they're going directionally. Like I'll meet with women a lot who are like, oh my God, like I want to work with a coach. I'm so excited to work with a coach, but like, should I prep or should I not prep? And I understand that for some coaches, right, there's like a difference in rate or things like that. Like sometimes it's a little bit of a financial decision. That makes sense to me. But I think what a lot of people too, like there's something that's so beautiful about embarking on a journey, knowing that you have clarity around something as vast and broad as a want, which is, I know that I want to head in this direction, right? I know that I want to feel better. I know that I want to challenge myself in a new way. And can you almost sit in that and create and invite peace into your heart, knowing that that want is specific enough for the time being, and the other stuff is going to fall in place as you get going on the journey. You don't need to wait for this like perfect opportunity to strike. And I know that you talked about like the common excuse being time, right? Like, I'll wait when I have the time. I'll wait when I'm more prepared or when I've set myself up in a better position to start. But I also think people wait for like this opportunity. If you're somebody who's a busy mom and you've got, four kids and the kids are always in school or then they're in T-ball season and then they're in this season and this, that, and the other, there's never really going to be a perfect opportunity. Your best bet is to work with a coach for who knows, 6 months, 8 months, a year, and truly, help leverage them to give you the tools so that this can be a realistic opportunity for you. The opportunity is never going to strike because what you're doing is not going to change without inviting someone into your space.
Yeah, I think that's interesting too, because, and it's really relatable for me because I remember when I first had reached out to you about coaching, I honestly didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know what I was doing. And all I knew was I was in the gym and one of my friends was going into a prep and she told me that she was bodybuilding. And I said, oh, what's that? And she's like, oh, like you compete and you get a coach and everything. And I was like, okay, great. I'm gonna get a coach. I had no idea what my goals were. I just knew I wanted to bodybuild. And I think that simple want of just doing that is what drove me to finally reach out to you and join the team because realistically, I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know exactly what my future held for me in terms of bodybuilding, but I just knew that in that moment, I wanted this. And I knew that everything else after that would kind of fall into place. And I think that's another thing is like, this idea of like wanting to be prepared. I was not prepared when I was looking for a coach. I literally was not. I was hardly in the gym for like I think I was in the gym for a year and my food, I didn't know anything about nutrition. But I think that's also something that people can say to themselves is like why would being more prepared help you? Like what will the difference make of being more prepared if you simply have a want and like you can just act on that immediately?
Well, and maybe too, giving some like tangible things to like metrics to preparedness, right? Like for example, I hear this a lot, not necessarily in the women that come to work on my team because they're usually looking for this as a goal to reach. But I've heard this before from other coaches is they'll have people who come in and they're like, yeah, I do want to work with you, but I want to lose the first 5 pounds on my own first. And it's like, okay, well, if you're going to do that by slashing calories and doing a ton of cardio, and then you're going to hire me, You realize that we're going to have to reverse that because
Right.
you're only going to hire me once you stall, right? So ask yourself if, like, the things that you're using as metrics, if you will, or really just like self-sabotaging tools to keep you stationary in the same comfortable spot. Ask yourself if there are really things that actually need to be in place for you to start. If it's financial security and you need to safeguard an extra $50 a month, then that's pretty realistic. I can get on board with that. But then actually make sure that you're doing the ish that you need to do to safeguard that $50 a month. I think the other thing before we kind of get into, I do want our listeners to understand the cost of delaying this want that they have. But before we get there, as I was thinking about instances in my life where I may be like, at the end of this podcast, I know there's going to be some listeners who are going to be like, I'm going for it. I'm fired up. I'm motivated. I'm inspired. And I just want to take one moment to bring everybody back to earth because I can feel us gaining a lot of momentum in this call and discuss some unrealistic expectations. On that thought track of when I first became a health and fitness coach, I tried to become a coach under really unrealistic expectations, right? Like this expectation that it was just going to come to me. And I think this happens to a lot of people as well when they get fired up and sort of hooked into their want, whether it be competing or whether it be simply losing 5 pounds, right? Like you don't just do the Stairmaster for a week and all of a sudden lose 5 pounds. You don't just throw a coaching application up on your Instagram and all of a sudden get the influx of clients. You don't just hire the coach who's going to provide you with the tools and the resources to get there and all of a sudden step on stage and win an overall, right? Like there's some things that you're going to have to put in effort for. And Alexa, little side tangent here, something that I hope that we can talk about in a future podcast episode is like, this notion of just because you have a want and that want is such a beautiful green light, it's a or this illuminated gold thing, right? It's like, oh, my want, it's so perfect. Doesn't mean that, yeah, doesn't mean that all the other things that are gonna require that are gonna be required of you in order to obtain that want are always gonna be things you're gonna want too, right? And so it's important that just because you have this want doesn't mean you go in under the guise of unrealistic expectations. I think the second thing for listeners to understand too is that sometimes we can go into things with this presumption that everything is going to go well on our first attempt, right? Not the case. It took me 12 attempts to turn pro. And I didn't lose sight of my want or my why one bit, and I didn't always have it figured out. Sometimes I had to pivot. I had to hire a new coach in the process. I had to go about things differently. I had to take breaks. I had to gain weight. Oh, I had to gain weight. But it doesn't always go our way on the first try. Doesn't mean that you're not cut out for it, But getting back to happy things, Alexa, I want you to talk a little bit on, despite the fact that it might not go well the first try, what can you say to listeners about the impact of or the cost of delaying their want?
So I think there's a lot of opportunities that people feel like they don't have or like that could be better, which is what is causing them to create this like someday mindset. But one of the biggest things that stuck with me when I started taking actions towards my goals was realizing how much time I actually had wasted, both with going to the gym for the first time and actually starting my bodybuilding journey with you. Because I could have done things a lot sooner. I could have gone to the gym sooner. I could have prepped even sooner. I mean, everything did work out really well and in my favor, but there's also a lot of fear that was associated with that. And there's also just so many other aspects of my life where I feel like looking back, I could have taken more advantage of instead of being afraid and now realizing I missed out. I mean, this is applying to me right now, where moving, I have to keep reminding myself that this is what I want and this is what I'm going to do and I'm going to move in June and that's it. But having that mindset or like having those thoughts of like feeling like I should stay or feeling like I'm going to miss out and miss my family, I think that's something that if I do fall into, I will regret eventually. And I think a lot of that is also like you're scared of failing, like you failing yourself, failing those around me. This is something that like I still think about. What else am I holding myself back from? I mean, right now it's trying to get my pro card. That's my next big goal. And why I'm still putting this off because I think I need to wait for the perfect moment. And right now we're working on other things to get there. But I think when that time comes closer, I'll really feel this way where I feel like I won't be ready, but I have to remind myself that I am and I took these actions to get ready. And I think that's something that after winning two back-to-back shows, I'm like terrified, like wholeheartedly, I'm so terrified to get back on stage because I feel like I've already exceeded all the expectations. I've set the bar so high and I think now getting anything less than, I feel like I'll be failing myself. And I think that's something I have to remind myself that I'm actually not doing. And you know, there's like these things that you feel like you're not growing financially, mentally, physically, and you become regretful. And these are all costs of like delaying these dreams.
Yeah, I think that, I think back to in my life on I never like to look back at things that I may have delayed and tell myself like, oh, you should have done it. You should have done it then. And I can totally see areas of my life where I could have approached it with that mentality. I could have started bodybuilding earlier. I could have healed my relationship earlier. I will say, like I said, I just don't like to have regret. However, in regards to timing, I think that's a completely different thing because I can think about my life and I can think about how fast my life has picked up. I mean, I went from, like living at my parents' house and barely making ends meet with like five clients on my roster to the coach that I am today. I'm doing this full time. I'm so blessed. I'm so grateful. And I'm living in a beautiful apartment complex in St. Petersburg. And it's not about like the materialistic things, but I just think about like how fast life picked up. And, if you're somebody that's listening to this and you're thinking about investing in yourself, whether it's competing, stepping on stage, whether it's, hiring a coach, it's like your life is never gonna get any easier. Like there's look back in your life and like look at where you were a year ago. Look at where you were 2 years ago. Look at where you were 6 months ago. I'm sure you would argue, oh, I'm busy. I'm busier. I'm busier. We're all busy. We're all busy. The cost of delaying it does nothing except eat away at you. Like does it really feel good to lay in bed at night and know that you have 22 items in your Forever 21 closet or cart, on Google on your Chrome tab. Like, no, and no girl likes that feeling. No girl likes to know that they have 22 things in their shopping cart, right? Like, we just want to buy it.
Oh, that's such a good
So
analogy, actually.
it's like, don't allow things to sit there and eat away at you. That in and of itself is the biggest cost for me of delaying this like notion of acting on our dreams. And I think, if we're talking to this audience and this audience is, just like much like I was, really trying to get down to why we freaking do this crap. I mean, you alluded to the first one, and I think that that really is the fear of failing, right? Like, it is so effing safe to stay where we are at. It is so safe to not move. It is so safe to, to tell yourself, well, someday, someday, someday. Yeah, we all love to dream.
You feel comfortable, you know? You're afraid of that discomfort.
Right. And I think even in to make this a little bit more tangible for listeners, like I think back to when I was healing my relationship with food. And to be honest with you, I did go into like, we've talked about this in previous podcasts, but I did oscillate on one side of the extreme. I gained a decent amount of weight. And with that came a little bit of body fat. Not to say I think that's how every person needs to go about it, but that was my perfect healing journey. But what we forget is that we can also go back, right? Like at any time. And I remember my mom telling me that, and it really just provided me with so much peace. It was like, we're not talking in absolutes here. Like, if you decide to step away from the stage, you can always go back. You know,
Nothing.
you're not gonna fail as a lifestyle athlete. You know,
Yeah.
like if you decide to heal re your relationship with food and like you get a little fat, like, hey, I did it. You know, like we get, I can always cut back down. I've got that down pat. You know, like,
Yep. We've been there, we've done that.
I mean, there really is. You're the person that gets to define failure. So just remember that. I think the other thing that a lot of people fear is they fear success. And I think that there is, I can also talk about this in relation to more recently for me, like really sort of starting to take that step away from the stage and really embrace living with a partner, sharing food with a partner. Like these were all big things for me in
Yeah.
my life as of the last 6 months. And I think there was a part of me that prior to taking that step, I was actually really fearful of me actually enjoying this way of living. And not acknowledging in that process that it's also okay to be nostalgic in a positive way of something that served me. Like, I can, for the first time, I recognize that, like, I didn't have to step away from the stage and do it because F the stage or because the stage hurt me. I can step forward and actually enjoy this new season of my life and this new chapter and still be nostalgic and reminiscent of a time that was.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, in regards to the fear of success, like people are also afraid of disruption of their current situation and the pressures that might come with achievements.
That's a
You
huge one.
know, it's,
Relatable to me in the situation where I won two shows back to back, and that is like genuinely, it creates fear when like you just got these big achievements, all these medals. Like I was literally on top of the world, and then it's like, okay, well, what's next? Like the next steps. Like I don't know what to do. I don't know if I want to take those steps because I'm genuinely afraid that I won't live up to where I just was.
yeah, I remember you talking to me about that. I think that the same thing happened with me. It was like once I won that overall in Irving, it was like I felt, and even though this wasn't true, I felt like all eyes were on me. And it was like, okay, well, now I need to go for the Olympia. You
Yeah.
know, and it was like, and if I don't do that, everyone, I remember all the DMs, you know, of like, oh, are you going to prep for the Olympia now? And I told myself I was going to. At the time, it did seem right. But it was just, you know, I had to really, I mean, honestly, it was probably when I first, before I gained clarity on this season of my life and on choosing to have more of a health slash life season, which I truly feel in my heart is what was most in alignment. I mean, at one point prior to meeting Chris and moving in and all these like crazy things that have happened in the last 6 months of my life, I really did have to sort of wrestle with the fact of like, am I just choosing not to compete right now because I'm afraid of not living up to, forget everyone else's opinion, but my own expectation of myself.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people too also, you know, they choose to not show up for themselves and they struggle with just going all in because they don't really have the clarity about where to start, right?
Yeah.
Like they know I can speak on when I first moved into my brand new apartment. Like I was so dissatisfied with my old style. Like all my furniture at the time was Facebook Marketplace and like it was all crap. And I knew that I wanted new, right? But like that notion of wanting new was so overwhelming to me. Like, I had no idea where to even begin. And I think for bodybuilders, like, this is about hiring a coach, right? Like, you can start there. I was uncertain and I lacked clarity, like, when wanting to start a new business, or for you, Alexa, like, wanting to move, uncertain about what that looks like. And I think sometimes taking messy action, taking that, like, first step
Yeah, it helps.
can really help to shape, a path forward when you lack that, when you lack that direction.
Yeah.
I you can move forward still with reservations. Something that I always say to our athletes, and I've said this on my Instagram page and some of my posts before, is like, reservations are a reminder. Like, they're a reminder that you care about something. Anxiety is a reminder. Reservations, hesitations, it's a reminder that you're on a path,
Yeah.
right? Like, if you're on the side of a mountain and you're afraid of falling off, you're still on the side of the mountain. You're still hiking. Like,
Yeah.
you're still going in a direction. Just keep moving.
And that's actually kind of breaking out of the mindset of eventually or someday, is even just those small steps and like acknowledging these limiting beliefs and challenging them, like going all in, believing in yourself. Even when you don't fully know exactly where this is going to go or how this is going to look, you can still move forward despite having these things. And taking this action is something that I realized. Like, I used to think fear was like this sign to not do something, but you have to realize that it also can be a sign you should, because most things that we are afraid of are actually what helps us grow the most. And this is like not just applicable to bodybuilding. This is like in lifestyle, you building a business, me moving. Like, there's so many things here where if you just acknowledge these challenges and just go all in, you can move forward and get to the other end in like the path that you envisioned.
And I think, for our listeners that are struggling with, breaking free from this mindset, and listeners, this is something that we are gearing up to talk about here in just a moment. But, I think as a reminder to those that are tuning in, it's okay to acknowledge your limiting beliefs. It's okay to recognize that fears and reservations and believing in yourself, they can coexist.
Yeah.
You can still move forward despite having those fears.
Yeah.
Understanding that taking action is what's going to provide clarity and fulfillment and confidence is so powerful. Like, understanding that taking action, even without the clarity, again, these things can be mutually exclusive. Taking action and also having clarity. Even once you take action, right? If you realize you turned right and you should have turned left, well, you make a U-turn. You can always go back. My mom, she reminded me of something that was so powerful when I first began my coaching business, because I remember telling her, like, Mom, like, what if I can't afford my rent when I'm like a month in? And I remember my mom always making me save for 2 full months of bills before I ever like moved out. But she said, Maddie, you're never going to fail. She's like, even if you fail, you will find a way to work it out. She's like, you would be the first bagger at Publix working part-time while you got your coaching business up and running. And she's not wrong. Like,
Right.
I was not made to fail. None of our listeners are. You weren't, Alexa. Nobody was made to fail. You're going to find a way to work it out because this is life. So, Alexa, I would love for you to share, aside from shifting your mindset here, that's kind of step one. What is step two for our listeners when it comes to breaking free from this mindset?
I mean, the next like important thing to do after you have some semblance of clarity would be to kind of create these small but attainable goals. And this is like the power of small steps in literally all aspects, because taking just small actions towards a bigger goal helps prevent that initial anxiety about the bigger picture and helps settle down the fears that you have of getting there. And I think there's an important framework or like an analogy that people can use, and that is SMART. The word SMART, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time. These aspects should all be applied to setting these small goals. You know, create a specific goal for yourself, whether it's you want to lose 5 pounds, have a measurable goal. 5 pounds is more measurable than wanting to lose 20 in 2 weeks. Have an achievable goal, something you can actually do, and then something that's relevant to your bigger want, relevant to the bigger picture, relevant to your goals and what's best for your lifestyle. And then time. You have to realize that setting these goals and going after them is gonna take time. Nothing happens overnight. Even small steps, you know, like when I wanted to get on stage, I took small steps, and that first small step was hiring a coach. The next small step was rehearsing and all these things. But these small steps compounded into over a year working together before I even got on stage. So you have to realize that these goals do take time. And there's also a factor of creating this accountability. And I think that's something that a lot of people lack is get holding themselves accountable. And I think this is where you can really either publicly commit to a goal, let people know, let people support you and let people guide you and hold you accountable, or also find a mentor, a coach, find a partner, someone that will be alongside you as you take these small steps into, you know, how to break free of this mindset.
Yeah, I love your notion of a SMART framework, right? I know we've all heard, like, I remember it took me back to science class. I remember like learning about, setting like hypotheses, whatever, however you say that. And like, the framework for that and SMART goals. Oh my goodness. But it's so true. Like when I talked about the notion of like, we can so often use what we think are SMART goals, but really just like these micro goals as things that are so not tangible. Like you can't touch them. They're really just like figments of the imagination, such as like, oh, I need to lose 5 pounds on my own before I hire a coach. Don't convince yourself that that's a SMART goal. Ask yourself, go through the framework. Go through, is it specific? Is it measurable? Is it achievable? Is it relevant? Is it timely? And if all of those things are not answered by your want to lose 5 pounds before you hire a coach, then all that that want of losing 5 pounds is doing is holding you comfortable in the space and preventing you from taking action. I think that we've already talked about that whole notion of hiring someone, right? Bringing someone up underneath your wing to collaborate with you. And I think that that's something too that whether you're looking for, healing your hormones or whether you're looking for you're trying to get out of depression or anxiety, or you're trying to get your house together, right? Like, take yourself out of the realm of health and fitness for a second. We hire a designer, right? When we don't have direction, but maybe we have like an idea of a vision for a space, but we don't really know where to start shopping. We have a budget, but that's kind of it. Bring an expert in. Publicly share it with people. If you're struggling with depression, if you're struggling with anxiety, if you're struggling with addiction, publicly tell somebody. And then I think too, we oftentimes will prevent ourselves from taking action because of how vast a goal is. Like you just talked, Alexa, about the steps that you needed to take in order to get to the stage. And I know a lot of it's ironic when I get on a call or a new discovery call with a client that might want to say, step on stage. It's so funny because the first things that they usually ask me is like, do you help with posing? Do you help with selecting a suit? I was thinking of doing a purple suit. What do you think about purple? And I'm sitting there on the other side of the screen, like, I just want to hug you because you have no idea that we're going to spend the next year, year and a half reverse dieting, building muscle. There will be no talk on a suit, right? But it's, I get it. I get it because I was them. It's so overwhelming when you look in the mirror and you're a size 12 or 14 and you want to be a size 4. And it's so much more comfortable to just stay there, right? Like, oh my gosh, when I started venturing on the path of regaining a period, I was like, oh man, this is going to take a lot. But you know what? I didn't get overwhelmed with all the crap that I was going to have to do to get that cycle back. Instead, I committed to one small goal and I moved up from there. With regaining my cycle, I told myself I'm going to raise my fats by 5. I'm going to lower my steps by 1500 a day. Very small. I didn't go from 15,000 down to 10. I didn't bring my fats from 35 up to 60 overnight. Right? Limit eating out, then move to tracking, then move to focusing on whole foods. Work out just 2 times a week, then move up from there. You know? And then and recognize that this same idea and this same notion of building momentum, it also pertains to habit stacking. You know, stack these habits on top of one another. You don't have to start with, you know, getting 30 minutes on the Stairmaster done and 10,000 steps and getting to the gym. What would happen if you just started with getting 8,000 steps a day and you said, that's all I'm going to do, 8,000 steps? Well, guess what? In a month from now, 8,000 steps is going to be real effing easy. And now you're going to be desiring to go to the gym. Why? Because we build this muscle called self-efficacy. And self-efficacy is your own pride and belief in yourself. Boom.
I think building building those small incremental steps in terms of like habit stacking, you create a routine out of that. You eventually start doing your nutrition, working out, cardio, all this, just taking those small steps, piling them together. Once you're comfortable, you look back and you realize, oh my gosh, I did all that and I'm now doing all of it together. And that's when you create this sort of routine and these habits that end up serving you. And this like goal-oriented behavior in your daily actions. And I think something that I love to say to myself, this helps remind me, is if I repeat what I did today 1,000 days in a row, will I be where I want to be? If I went through today again, over and over again, will that make me reach my goals? And I think that's something that you can reflect back to all of our listeners. If you redid today over and over, would you end up reaching your goals? And that's the idea of habits. Just introducing these small habits one at a time can really, really help eventually get to where you want.
And like, you know, the whole notion, I think this sounds so silly, but it does make you think like of the power and impact of just embracing that movement is progress, right? Like when a baby, when your baby boy or baby girl or baby cousin, whoever it is, when they take their first steps and they walk towards you and they fall down on step three, you don't stop and go, oh, you fell. Third step, seriously? Seriously, baby boy? Like, you didn't do it. You know, like, you're like, oh my gosh, he walked 3 steps and the baby's on the floor crawling again, right? Progress over perfection. Like, consistency will always win. And what are you doing? You're cheering for that baby to get up again and to keep walking and to take a fourth step and come on to mama, right? Like, do that for yourself. Do that for yourself. And guess what? When that weeble wobbles and falls down and that baby takes a little tumble, guess what? They learn, oh, my head is the heaviest part of my body. Where the head goes, the body follows. Next time when I stand up, I'm gonna lean a little bit more forward, right? Like, we learn from our mistakes. Don't fear them. Use them as an opportunity for growth. Use them as an opportunity for growth. You know, Alexa, I know that you were so compelled to talk on this subject, and this subject, you know, really had me thinking about even our own athletes on our team, you being one of them. But you know, I have so many girls that I'm so blessed and so grateful to work with that totally embrace this notion of progress over perfection, and that have totally embraced these moments of hiccups as an opportunity to grow through. You know, I have a client, Amber Ross, right now. She is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful physique. She's in Australia right now for a semester abroad, and she's from Canada. And we had plans for her to actually compete as soon as she got back from Australia. And her coaching agreement was actually coming to its like perceived end date. Yet she's still committed to re-signing, recognizing that we might have to pivot. She chose to work through the challenges by being abroad, and she still wanted to hold on to her identity as a bodybuilder while away, even if it looked completely different, which it does. Even the things that they eat and the food that she has access to and the time difference and the activity she that's completely different. I have another client, Vivian Lyle. Some of you might have seen her. I repost a lot of her stuff on Instagram that she tags me in.
Oh my gosh,
She's
she's so good.
enlisted in the military. She's frequently gone for things like she's right now, she's I don't think she's checking in for like 3 or 4 weeks because she's at a training for the military. But she's committed to finding a way to make it work. And oftentimes, she'll reach out to me and be like, "Hey, I have these foods in my MREs. Can you make a meal plan for me out of it?" So that she can still make steps and strides towards her goals. I have another client. Her name is Kelly Maddock. She lives out in the UK and she's in school full time. She's a nurse full time. She's got two kids at home, maybe three actually, I think just two. And she wants to compete someday, but life got really, really, really crazy after her fat loss phase with her master's program. So we pivoted and we're not competing right now. Instead, we adjusted her program, right? This is an example of things maybe not going so perfect that first time around, but still staying committed to like your own cause, if you will. And Kelly is still a competitor. She has maintained a beautiful body composition because she has committed herself to now checking in every other week, still following a training program. It's modified, still tracking her nourishment practices. I have a similar kind of story with a final athlete that I can mention. And her name's Tori Balker. She's got two kids at home. She's a full-time nurse. Her husband works very erratic and unpredictable shifts. And she's also planning a wedding, as crazy as that sounds. And she like, initially she started working with me because she wanted to compete. And I told her, I was like, "Tori, this is gonna be hard for us to do." And she like, it was like, she had this wedding and she wanted to shape up and she also wanted to be a good mom and she wanted to regulate her hormones. And it was like, she wanted to do all the things. So in many aspects, in regards to that, there wasn't any clarity, right? Like she did want to compete. That was probably the chief reason, but like there still wasn't a lot of like certainty around this path forward. She still took the action. She still partnered with a coach. So what I'm trying to say in this is none of these people have been perfect.
No, they're all
No
booked
one.
and busy. Our girls are booked and busy.
Yeah, but they still choose commitment to their cause. They still choose their why at the end of the day, and they recognize and honor that me as their coach or you as their coach are going to be able to step in, intervene, and guide them on the right path.
Yeah, and I think kind of going off what you said about the why, which I think is so important, finding my why was so important. I remember back before we started my first prep. Maddie had me hone into my why. I remember you had asked me before we started, hey,
Yeah.
evaluate your why, find your reason, because prep is no joke. This is gonna be like not an easy process, and I wanna make sure I guide you and keep you grounded in your goal. So evaluating this was crucial for me, and it reminded me of why I'm doing this, why I wanted this, and what actions I will need to take to get there. And I think there's a lot of women, so many who are afraid to commit, whether it be like fitness, competing, just prioritizing themselves in life, moms who are busy, travel for work, shift workers, taking care of children in the house, and they still find ways to make it work. I mean, look at all those clients and women that we have on the team. They're amazing. And because they decided that their someday was the day they started working or the day they set out to do that goal instead of waiting. And I think for all the people who are listening, this is a reminder that you can decide today is the day you start. Whatever it is, take one step toward it today, even if it's small and even if it's scary, because if you don't, you may just be buying yourself more time. And this time could actually be spent becoming the person you want to become or reaching that goal you had set out to and fulfilling that want and finding clarity and, not delaying your dreams and learning about how you can take these steps and get there.
Yeah, I think. Oh, that was so powerful. I didn't even. Yeah, I love it. And this sort of like notion, right, of of having a why and having sort of that itch. I want our competitors to really anchor into like something that I have learned about overcoming procrastination is the impact of an itch. I remember my mom telling me, like, Maddie, your itch is always going to follow you. You don't, it doesn't go away. Like, if you desire to compete, it's not just gonna piss off. Like, we simply, all we can do is buy ourselves time. Now, instead of procrastination being this negative thing, can our listeners shift to actually recognizing how procrastination can actually serve us? I do think that procrastination does get a little bit of a negative connotation, and we all can overcome it. However, I want to talk about an example that has nothing to do with health and fitness and everything to do with how sometimes procrastination can really protect us. When I was first moving to Tampa, I could not decide on an apartment. Like, for the life of me, I went to therapy. I got hypnotized to select a place. Like, it was bad. But I think that the reason why I was procrastinating so much was because there was certain, the move in and of itself was the right decision. Moving and getting out of Orlando was smart for me, but my means of getting there and my timeline needed a little bit of revising. But I wouldn't have been able to actually revise that had I not started taking steps towards getting there, right? I had to like go look at the apartments. I had to, talk to leasing agents and experts in the field. I had to ultimately sign a lease somewhere and then like take that messy action. It's important, for you to explore why you're procrastinating. Are you procrastinating because you're holding off on doing something that you actually should be doing? Or maybe is it because your why is logical and reasonable, but maybe the process or the person that you've hired or the actions that you're currently taking are not aligning with that end goal, right? Like, maybe it needs a little bit of revision, and that's okay. What helped me break through, that was evaluating my why as well, like from the get-go. Sometimes anchoring into this is the best reminder to sort of reignite that fire from within. And if you're listening to this and you're somebody right now who's kind of struggling with getting back up on the saddle or they're procrastinating a goal, I encourage you to think about times where you may have felt compelled to procrastinate and didn't. Like, maybe if you felt like, there was a time in your life, much like me, where you were nervous to move somewhere and you chose to still move in the direction of moving and getting out on your own despite being in a new environment, right? Maybe there's a collegiate athlete who's listening to this and they're struggling with stepping away from their college sport, right? And graduating. And I challenge you, to think about maybe you're a former collegiate athlete, right? And you never pictured a life not playing softball or tennis. And now you're like, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine going back to those practices because of how many things have filled the space. There's so much in there's so many times in your life where things were either forced upon you, which I would never wish on anybody, or you chose to just take the action for whatever reason, and something beautiful came of that. And you may have gone into some of those choices not really knowing the outcome.
I think that
And
goes
what?
for most times. You don't really know what will happen.
Exactly. It's so funny. I told Chris the other day, like, we sometimes in relationships and things like that, like we, and I'm really not somebody who approaches relationships this way. And I hope none of our listeners take it as that, but like, it's like we think like once we have a ring on our finger, we're safe. Or like once we move in together, we're safe. Or once we have a kid together, we're safe. Nobody's safe, okay? Like no one is safe. Like there's no perfect time. There's no perfect place. There's no perfect person. There's no perfect scenario. You just got to take the effing action, but stop standing on the sidelines because it's you versus you.
Yeah.
You know, you are the one that is holding you back from getting there. So if you're listening to this tonight, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you tonight to take one action, a small one, that is working towards your smaller goal. Maybe if you're struggling with this, get to writing tonight. Take out a notebook, journal. What is one goal that you've been putting off and why? And then piggyback on that. Tomorrow night, continue writing. What is the smallest action that you can take to work towards this? Guess what? You already did step one, and that was writing off the goal that you've been putting off and why you've been putting off.
Yeah.
Okay? Progress starts with a single step, a single step.
Yeah,
And
I
if you're
agree.
listening to this, just know discipline is going to always win over motivation. It's just do it. It's that just do it mentality. We led a whole podcast on this. Just do it. There's a reason why Nike is a multi-million dollar company. Okay? Consistent action matters. Perfect action doesn't. No fear, just faith, right?
Yeah. Don't
Really? Really?
you can ask
Alexa.
yourself questions too. Like, I think that's something else is, even when you're journaling, just ask yourself questions about your goals. Like, even if you have to reevaluate, like in your scenario with Tam when you were moving and finding you had to take those steps back, you could just ask yourself, like, oh, like maybe I need to reevaluate. Maybe I need to revision the way that I originally wanted this to go. Maybe my bigger want, the path there is different and I have to shift trajectory. Like you can just, even just acknowledging that there has to be some sort of change is an
I think
actionable
too.
step.
It's so helpful for me. My mom, she's literally like Judea, I swear. But Terry Dola, she told me, she said, Maddie, what's the worst thing that happens? Have you really ever answered that question for yourself? Like, if you can answer, like, what is the worst thing that can come of this? Like, you're out, what, $2,400 working with the coach, or you move and you have to move out and you got to spend another $1,500 on movers, like it's okay.
Yeah, the
It's
world
okay.
and the world's not gonna
No. No. Alexa, do
and
you have any closing thoughts for our listeners?
yeah, so I think this sounds super cliche. I know we're all about the cliches today, but the best time to take these steps and to work towards your goal and to overcome that someday trap is to start. Start now. The best time to start was yesterday, but you already missed that, so start now. You're waiting for the perfect moment. You're gonna be waiting a damn long time. And trust me, I speak for both me and Maddie in this case, as we both have been there. But I've waited and I feared and I've let it hold me back. And I don't want that for our listeners. I don't want that for the women who come to me and want to work with me. So, whatever it is, start today. Your future you will be glad that you did.
Absolutely. Listeners, this week, I just want to take a moment to remind you of your worth, your power, and ultimately the power of your very own procrastination. Dang it. It is the perfect reminder that you need to press forward and pursue the passion that's been placed on your heart. That was such a good alliteration. If any of you guys are interested in exploring resources such as one-on-one coaching with myself or our head AC, Alexa, the link is down below to apply. You can also check us out on Instagram at Mads Michi Fitness or Alexa Lift. Listeners, friends, and beautiful people, it is such an honor having you all tune in every other weekend as we share new episodes. I'm really hoping to make some podcasts with Alexa more of a regular occurrence moving forward. And we would love your help choosing new topics to discuss with you all. So be sure to give our podcast a rating and leave a comment so we know how we can better serve you, our special little community. Remember, Be kind to others and don't leave yourself out of that mix. This is Alexa and Maddie with Empowered Coaching Collective signing off, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.